This house is known as a house that's on the Eastern Gate, and really it's the Eastern Gate of the tabernacle of Moses that was in the wilderness. And on that tabernacle, there were the tribes of Israel, and they were divided into groups of three. And they would camp around in the four corners or the four walls of the temple. And on the eastern wall was the gate. It was the only gate. And at that gate, the three tribes of Israel that camped there were Judah, Issachar, and Zebulun. And if you read about Judah, we all know Jesus came from the tribe of Judah. Judah, representing the name, means praise. And so Judah is about worship. And there's an expression, a ministry of worship here. You certainly can say we are a Judah house. It's very difficult to enter this sanctuary without experiencing worship. In fact, it's very difficult to drive and not be in worship by the time you enter onto the grounds. There's just such an expression of that that is here. And the brother Issachar, I don't have time to get into all the background of that because I'm going to speak to you on intercession. But Issachar represents intercession. If you look at his calling, his blessing was that his emblem would be the donkey, and that he would bear two burdens, and it was he was responsible for the tillage and the tillage and the tribute, which is agriculture and government. And so Issachar would establish the cities. It says, though he was a warrior, he laid down his sword and for his tent. And so from his tent, he would do intercession. He preferred to be in his tent more than anywhere else. And you'll see that's part of the nature and the character of an intercession. I was just on the phone earlier today with my mother. And she's now in her 80s. And she was sharing with me something about herself. And that is that she enjoys being alone. She just is more peaceful being just by herself these days than ever before. And it's sort of different for her. But it's a feature of intercessors. They tend to prefer just to be alone. Let me go into my tent, and that's where I will find my peace. And you can read more about the brother Issachar, and this house is surely a house of prayer. It is a house of intercessory prayer. And God calls forth prayer. Lisa and I, as you know, have lived in other parts of the world. We've lived in Thailand. We've lived, I'm saying live there. Live there on the economy. Rented from Thais. We were in the service, but we did not live in service housing, post housing. And we also lived in Turkey, Izmir, Turkey. We lived right in the Alsancak area, which is very well known for terrorist activities that are there. And we also lived in Italy. In fact, our oldest daughter was almost born in Thailand. They allowed me to leave early, we would have had to stay until her birth, And then our youngest daughter was born in Italy. In fact, she was born in the same city is Sophia Loren, Pozzuoli, or Naples, suburb of Naples, Italy. And so we lived on the economy in those places. And so Lisa and I had to learn about spiritual warfare. It seemed like as we lived in these different communities and in our world travels, we experienced some things together on a spiritual plane that forced us to have to indulge in prayer together. And our awareness was heightened of spiritual, particularly demonic activity that would take place. Not that we looked for it, don't even care to look for it, don't even care to see it, but just that it was sort of in your face kind of thing. And since we've been to this church, to this house, some of the same features of spiritual warfare that took place with us in those foreign lands happens with us here. And we both agree, she and I, that it is the consequences of reaching out into the world as a church. There's absolutely no covering over this house as far as a denominational covering. You understand what I'm saying? This house stands alone in support of missions, and God has brought this house to be a covering over many other houses, who some of those are also a covering of many other houses. So this house has children and grandchildren and possibly even great-grandchildren. Are you with me? And so there's an incredible anointing for prayer and for spiritual warfare. Now, and then finally Zebulun. Zebulun was the younger brother. Judah, Issachar, and Zebulun were three of Leah's sons. And Zebulun, he had land by the sea, and he had ships. And he would go over and bring the hidden treasures of the seas and bring in the treasures of foreign lands back in. And so that's a picture of evangelism and reaching into the world in missions. So that's a picture of our missions ministry. So now you could sum it up on three fingers. We have a ministry of worship. We have a ministry of intercession, prayer, and we have ministry of evangelism. And that's the DNA features of our house. Now and that doesn't mean that some of us are this, some of us are that. All of us are active in all of that. Do you follow? But some of us experience certain parts more, perhaps, than others. There are some who are the singers in the inner end to worship and to pray, but they also intercede, and they also are called to go out and reach out as well on times. But their primary calling, and they know from within, is the Judah touch and others in the other three areas. It's good to know who you are. It's good to know what your identity is so that you can identify with that. And this is who we are. Not just what we do, but what we do is a function of who we are. Are you with me? And so in the teaching today about intercession, if you'll look with me in Romans 8 and the 26th and the 20, verse 26... And actually, this Romans 8 is a powerful chapter. I almost started to do a switch here and just teach the whole chapter of Romans 8, but I decided that I'm going to stick with what I've prepared tonight. And so he says in 26, likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weakness. For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, or as we should, or as we could otherwise. But the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. So now what we see is that the Spirit is involved in intercession. And the Spirit with groanings that cannot be uttered. And there are times when we groan in the Spirit. It's part of it. But the understanding is that the Spirit can call forth intercession. This is where the Lord is moving upon the people to begin to pray and to begin to yield under the heavy glory of the intercession that God is calling forth. Don't be surprised if you wake up in the middle of the night. Don't be surprised if you find yourself weeping for no reason. Don't be amazed if you hear the voice of God override other voices and thoughts in your head these days. Because the Lord is calling forth an army of intercession. And he's turning up the flames of the fire, if you will. He's bringing it forth. I'm not standing up here to muster up anything or to try to make anything happen. I'm just here heralding that which he has written. Are you with me? And it sounds like to me, your spirits are also bearing witness with his spirit. After all, it's one and the same. Amen. And so then it says, groanings that cannot be uttered. Now he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for saints according to the will of God. So the Spirit makes intercessions for saints. Who are saints? Saints are the ones who are the children of the Lord. These are the ones who know the Lord. These are the ones who have dedicated their lives to the Lord. So the Spirit is making intercession for the saints, for those who are carrying on the work of the Lord, for those who represent Christ in this earth, ambassadors. Are you with me? And so he's praying according to God's will. Praying according to God's will. As I was crossing the bridge coming to church earlier and coming across the toll bridge, the presence of God just started flowing on me, as I'm sure he does you when you're driving here. And I remember just experiencing the goodness of God and just thinking, I just could never imagine the goodness that God has shown me and the way that he has blessed me and touched me. And I'm not always in that state of mind, mind you. I mean, you know, there's times when I'm overwhelmed with cares and responsibility, you know, this, that, and fears and struggles and such. But this was a calming experience of God. I could never begin to even think to make a prayer list of how you have blessed me. the abundance of that stuff would never be on the list because I can't imagine it. Are you with me? And so the Spirit prays for the saints according to the will of God beyond our knowledge and beyond our understanding. Are you with me? And so this is what the Scripture is saying. So I want you to really get the picture. You're not a puppet on the string being moved and manipulated by the Holy Ghost to pray, but you are a member of the body of Christ that takes messages from the head to flow with him in intercession as he intercedes for the world. Are you with me? And so we're flowing in that with him because we are members of that body. Now, here's something else about intercession. Turn with me, if you will, to Ezekiel. And in the 22nd chapter, I want you to take a look at this particular verse where God says, I sought for a man among them who would make a wall and stand in the gap before me on behalf of the land, that I should not destroy it, but I found no one. If there's ever a verse in Scripture that describes intercession and gives it as a pure example of it, it's standing in the gap. It's standing in the what we call the impasse, standing in the place of separation, standing in the gap and being definitive. When I read this standing in the gap, I immediately thought of the woman who was caught in the act of committing adultery and how in the midst of Christ teaching the people, they interrupted that and brought her in and said, we have found this woman in this condition, and she... And according to the law of Moses, it says she must be stoned. What do you say? And you know the story where Jesus took his finger and just marked in the dirt and was silent. And then he looked at him and said, let he who is without sin among you cast the first stone. And so they began to leave one by one. And until the woman was left there alone. And he said, where are your accusers? And she said, they're not here. He says, neither do I accuse you. Go and sin no more. Jesus was standing in the gap. He was standing in the place where there was division between her and those who brought her in. And he was also standing in the gap between the Father and her sin, bringing in the grace of God, liberating her to go forth. The violation of the law that the Lord had decreed through Moses was taking place. There would be other violations of the law. The laws of the Sabbath would be violated by Jesus Christ because they were no longer bound by the law because Jesus was removing the sin. And without sin, there's no lawlessness. And without lawlessness, there's no need for law. There's need for grace. Fresh start, new opportunities. Admit what you've done wrong and get up and walk in a different direction. Amen? And so, he says, I sought. God says, I looked. The Lord is like, it's not the will of God that man should perish, but should have everlasting life. It is the will of God for man to believe upon the salvation, the blood of Jesus that washes and removes the wrath and literally takes away the gap where Christ has stood in the gap and has bridged that. And he is that bridge where we have access to the Father, not to fear anything of condemnation or of wrath, but to stand in His presence in full acceptance by God. Amen. And so that's a picture of intercession. Now, let's go ahead and take a look today, and I want to just look at it, this intercession, and turning to the book of Daniel. Let's see if I can get this to work. There we go. Turning to the book of Daniel and looking at the 9th chapter in the book of Daniel. What we're going to see is that Daniel is going to stand in the gap. And he's going to stand in the gap and pray a prayer that will usher in, part of ushering in, the plan of God and what God has spoken. So it says, in the first year of Darius, the son of Ahasuerus, of the lineage of the Medes, who was made king over the realm of the Chaldeans, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by the books the number of the years specified by the word of the Lord through Jeremiah the prophet, that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolation of Jerusalem. Now, what is he speaking of here? This is the story, and we've talked about it. Isaiah prophesied it. Jeremiah was extremely known, very well known, for prophesying this destruction that would come. You know, and this was the destruction of the city of Jerusalem by Nebuchadnezzar and of the temple that Solomon had built. In fact, in fact, Jeremiah was imprisoned. Jeremiah was beaten because he would speak this prophetic truth that Israel was not going to be able to stand victoriously against Nebuchadnezzar, that the Chaldeans were indeed brought in by God to come and take over Israel because of the sin that was there. And so, and that this would last for 70 years. And so Daniel sees in the book, and Daniel is actually living beyond the 70-year time frame. And so he sets his way, his face to pray. Now, I want us to look in the book of Jeremiah. And in one of the passages, there's a couple of passages where it mentions the 70 years. But the most one that you're more than likely most familiar with. Yes, you probably have heard this passage from Jeremiah before. Even if you don't necessarily read a whole lot in the prophets or in the Old Testament, this is a passage that's very familiar, I would think, for you. I would be surprised if it wasn't. In the 29th chapter of Jeremiah, verses 10 through 14, it says, "For thus saith the Lord." Now, when a prophet says, "Thus saith the Lord," it is no longer that prophet that is speaking. He is speaking, but he's not speaking words that are his own ways that he thinks. He's speaking the word of the Lord. He's actually speaking what God or what the Spirit is laying upon his heart to speak, and he's moved by the Spirit. Peter tells us that, and I've read that to you several times, but in the book of Peter, he talks about how that prophets speak the truth as they are moved by the Holy Spirit. And so so this is God speaking now, and not, and this message, this is Jeremiah speaking, but the message is from God. And so thus says the Lord, after 70 years are completed at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word toward you and cause you to return to this place. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. And then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you, and you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all of your heart. And so you see that the Chaldeans that were being called in upon them, and that this was going to happen for 70 years. For 70 years. Now, if we look back in Isaiah, the 44th chapter in the book of Isaiah, and what we see here in the 24th verse, thus says the Lord. Okay, once again, the message is not from the prophet, but the message is from God. Thus says the Lord, your Redeemer. Redemption means to bring you back. That which was lost was found. That which was stolen has been redeemed. It has been brought back. Amen. And so this is the Lord, your Redeemer. He who formed you from the womb. I am the Lord who makes all things, who stretches out the heavens all alone. All alone doesn't mean the heavens are all alone. It means he's all alone when he does it without any help whatsoever. All right? Who spreads abroad the earth by myself. Who frustrates the signs of babblers and drives diviners mad, that is, people who do divination and prophesy through spirits that are not the Holy Ghost. Are you with me? There's only one Holy Spirit. The rest of them are not. And watch. And who turns wise men backwards and makes their knowledge foolishness, who confirms the word of his servant, who confirms the word of his servant. So when he sends a servant with his word in the servant's mouth, God will confirm that word with signs and wonders, will confirm that word with making it come to pass, and performs the counsel of his messengers, who says to Jerusalem, you shall be inhabited, and to the cities of Judah you shall be built, and I will raise up her waste places, who says to the deep, be dry, and I will dry up your rivers, who says to Cyrus, he is my shepherd, he shall perform all my pleasure. He shall perform all my pleasure, saying to Jerusalem, you shall be built, and to the temple your foundation shall be laid. So now God is speaking 150 years before Cyrus is born, or anywhere from 100 to 150 years before Cyrus was born, which means at some point this must have been 25 years or so before their captivity, because they were going to be 75 years. Never mind. Don't do that math. Anyway, he's speaking the name of Cyrus before Cyrus is born. So they're going to be in captivity for 70 years. He said that through Jeremiah. He named the person by name who was going to release them from captivity. Are you with me? And he says, I am the God who confirms what I speak through my messengers. Now, can you imagine someone who is born with a purpose to be a king, with a purpose to release Israel? Can you imagine? Can you imagine if you were Cyrus and you went and conquered Babylon, which he did, and in order to do it, he dried up the rivers that ran through the city because they left the gates open by the rivers. And it was exactly what God said before he called his name. I'm going to dry up the rivers. And he goes into the city and he declares. And in his declaration, there was no resistance. Because he said to them, listen, Nebuchadnezzar messed up. This other ruling empire messed up by pulling all of your gods out of your temples. And your gods became angry with him. I'm not going to do that. I'm going to release them back to you. I'm going to release, and you're going to go back and build up your cultures and build your temples. It was not just the Jews that he did that for. He did it for all of them. And Cyrus never, in his speech, he did not declare that it was God, the God of Israel, who did this. He declared it was Moloch. It was a different God. But the problem is, there was a 150-year-old letter that God had sent to Cyrus 200 years before he made a decree to release them. Oh, Jesus. And so what Cyrus thought Moloch was doing, he had a letter over here that showed him who the real God that was bringing him into it. Are you with me? Are you following me? Have I left you? Okay. And so all of these words were spoken early. Daniel read the promise. Now, if you look, here's another one. This is Zechariah. Zechariah in the first chapter. Who is Zechariah? Zechariah and Haggai. If you read the book of Haggai, I'm going to have to teach out of Haggai sometime. Haggai was the one that was given the vision of the Chaldeans coming in, and it just messed his mind up. He couldn't believe it. And Haggai and Zechariah were prophets of the day. And when it came time to rebuild the temple that Nebuchadnezzar had destroyed, Ezra was responsible for that. And you can read it in the book of Ezra. Nehemiah was responsible for the building of the city. And you can read that in his book. And you can read about all the opposition that was there and so forth. And during that opposition that came, these prophets would stand up and declare that this thing is going to come forth and that they were going to do it and that it was the plan of God for it to come forth. And so they would encourage the people. And here is Zechariah, one of those prophets, and the angel of the Lord answered and said, O Lord of hosts, Zechariah listening to a conversation in the heavenlies where the angel of the Lord asks God, how long will you not have mercy on Jerusalem and on the cities of Judah against which you were angry these 70 years? So there's intercession going on in the heavenlies with the angels, not just on earth. Are you with me? Am I leaving you? I don't want to get up in a flying saucer up here. I want to stick with the word. And if I vary from the word, I appreciate y'all sharing with me because I'm here to preach truth. You understand what I'm saying? Not be new and different and some kind of on cutting edge ministry. I don't need no cutting edge. They cut the edge real good themselves without me. Are you with me? Okay, and so watch this. And so the angel of the Lord answered and said, O Lord of hosts, how long will you not have mercy on Jerusalem and on the cities of Judah against which you were angry these 70 years? And the Lord answered the angel who talked to me with good and comforting words. So the angel who spoke to me said to me, proclaim, saying, thus says the Lord of hosts, I am zealous for Jerusalem and for Zion with great zeal. I am exceedingly angry with nations at ease, for I was a little angry and they helped, but with evil intent. Therefore says the Lord, I'm returning to Jerusalem with mercy. My house shall be built in it, says the Lord of hosts, and a surveyor's line shall be stretched out over Jerusalem. Again proclaim, saying, thus says the Lord of hosts, my cities shall again spread throughout, shall spread out through prosperity, and the Lord will again comfort Zion and will again choose Jerusalem. Isn't that incredible? Intercession in the heavenlies. Angels concerned about Israel. Know you not you are the new Israel? Know you not? Know you not that the blood of Jesus flowed from his veins into yours? Know you not that your heart is filled with the Spirit that cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou far from me? And do you not know that he is the one who said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. It was the blood of Abel that cried for vengeance, oh Jesus, but the blood of Stephen cried for forgiveness and mercy. Do you not know what spirit you are of? Glory be to God. And so here we have Zechariah listening to intercession going on in the heavenlies. Now let's go back to Daniel. After all, that was just opening statements. It's pretty good for opening statements, isn't it? Now I get to the meat of the are you full on I'm full. I'm almost choking on the caviar off over here, you know, on the hors d'oeuvres. Oh, goodness gracious, God is good, isn't he? And so look here in Daniel at his prayer, going back to that ninth chapter of Daniel, and and the fourth verse. Now watch this. And so Daniel says, remember in the first three verses, I'll read those real quick once again, starting in one. In the first year of Darius, the son of Ahasuerus, of the lineage of the Medes, who was made king over the realm of the Chaldeans, Darius came well after Cyrus. In the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by the books the number of the years specified by the word of the Lord through Jeremiah the prophet, that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolations of Jerusalem. Then I set my face toward the Lord God to make requests by prayer and supplications with fasting, sackcloth, and ashes. He hears the promise. He hears the word. He's living in the realm of that prophetic fulfillment. And he begins to intercede. He begins to intercede with that word in his heart. And watch what he says. He says, I prayed to the Lord my God and made confession and said, O Lord, great and awesome God, who keeps his covenant and mercy with those who love him and with those who keep his commandments, we have sinned. He didn't make a confession saying we are the righteousness of Christ. We have sinned. We have sinned. And watch what he says. Watch this. We have sinned and committed iniquity. We have done wickedly and rebelled. Now he's speaking as a representative of an entire nation that is God's chosen people. Are you with me? He's not a self-appointed representative, just like you. He is a God-appointed representative. God came to you. You didn't come to him. You didn't even know who he was. But God showed himself to you, revealed his son to you, showed you his plan for salvation. Show you that he turned your destiny around from eternal damnation to eternal salvation with him. And is not just bringing you into heaven through Christ, but brings you as heirs in glory. That means you have ownership up there. You have got property in heaven. Are you with me? Joint heirs in Christ together with him. And so, when you receive, you understand what I'm talking about. And so he said, and he said, I prayed to the Lord my God and made confessions, you know, and we have sinned, we committed, and even departing from your precepts, your judgments. Verse 6, neither have we heeded your servants, the prophets. We didn't listen to them who spoke in your name to our kings and our princes. Go back and read Jeremiah, how they didn't listen to Jeremiah, didn't listen to him. Didn't listen to him when he told them what was going to happen. We didn't listen. And then he goes on. He says, oh, Lord, righteousness belongs to you. I'm just going to tell you the truth. There's only one person that's holy. It ain't me, babe. There's only one person that not only was willing, but made the choice to lay down his life to you. Not me, babe. Just one. There's only one who's righteous. Just one. And if you're in that one, and that one is in you, you get it too. Praise God. People are bearing witness with the truth. O Lord, righteousness belongs to you, but to us, shame of faith. As it is this day, the men of Judah, to the inhabitants of Jerusalem and all Israel, those near and those far off in all the countries to which you have driven them because of the unfaithfulness which they have committed against you. O Lord, to us belongs shame of face, to our kings, our princes, our fathers, because we have sinned against you. To the Lord our God belong mercy and forgiveness, though we have rebelled against him. We have not obeyed the voice of the Lord our God to walk in his ways, which he set before us by his servants the prophets. Yes, all Israel has transgressed your law and has departed so as not to obey your voice. Therefore, the curse, the oath written in the law of Moses. You know the curse? We don't read the curse as much. We read the blessings. Blessed going in, blessed coming out. You'll be the lender and not the borrower. You know, and it goes on, blessings after blessings after blessings. But then it says, if you don't obey, here come the curses. And it's like there's no lukewarm with God. There's either hot or cold. Do you understand what I'm saying? Either you're in ownership in heaven, or you're in damnation in hell. There ain't nothing in between. No riding the fence. No fence to ride. And so watch this. And he has confirmed his word, which he spoke against us, against our judges who judged us, by bringing upon us great disaster. For under the whole heaven, such has never been done as what has been done to Jerusalem. So God just wasn't, you know how sometimes your mom and dad will do, oh, if you do that, you don't cross the circle. If you cross the circle, you're going to get it. So you step in the circle. He said, well, don't hit this chip off my shoulder. If you hit this chip, you're going to get it. So he hits the chip. No. God said, you disobey me, you're going to get it. And guess what? They got it. But they didn't just get it. They had prophets that went in and kept telling them and warning them and warning them for years and years and years, 150 years, not only before when he was speaking of Cyrus, but not only did he warn them it was going to happen, but he also told them that it would be for a season, that it would be a punishment. It would not be an annihilation, but it would bring about change. Some of you are going through processes in life. And some of your family members are going through processes in life. And some of the people in your communities are going through processes in life. Do you understand what I'm saying? And some of those processes that we go through seem as though the devil is destroying us. But you need to understand, when you give your life to Christ, he doesn't give you to the devil to be destroyed. And if you're going through something, he's there with you to walk along the way. Don't get angry and push him out and say, you should have stopped this, you could have stopped this. No, just say, I'm grateful that I can call upon the name of the Lord. This too shall pass. We will go through the valley of the shadow of death together. I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. And you know as well as I do, I see people out here that have lived some years in this earth. And you know as well as I do, when you live difficult years and in difficult seasons, and you get beyond that season, all of a sudden God starts bringing people to you for whom you have compassion and empathetic understanding, and you don't judge them, you receive them, you love them, and you walk with them through the process that you went through. These things that we go through don't make us older. Time does that, but it makes us wiser. Amen. That which is sent to destroy can only exalt. God says, I have commanded all things to work together for good, for those who love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. Amen? And so then he goes on, and I'm not going to keep us forever, but just get through some of this a little bit here. It is as it is written in the law, all this disaster has come upon us, and so forth. And then he goes on and he reads it, and the Lord has kept the disaster in mind and brought it upon us. The Lord our God is righteous in all the works which he does, though we have not obeyed his voice. Verse 15, and now the Lord our God, who brought our people out of the land of Egypt with a mighty hand, and made yourself a name as it is this day, we have sinned and done wickedly. Now he begins, after he makes that confession and declares the righteousness and the rightness of God and the wrongness of those upon whom this calamity has come, he says, O Lord, according to all your righteousness, I pray, let your anger and your fury be turned away from your city, Jerusalem. Your holy mountain, because for our sins and for the iniquities of our fathers, your people are reproached, all those around. Therefore, our God, hear the prayer of your servant and his supplication for the Lord's sake, O Jesus. For the Lord's sake. Now, what do you mean for the Lord's sake? For the sake of his name. Jerusalem is a child that needed to be disciplined. Have you ever had a young'un that needed to be disciplined? But for the sake of your name, you don't kill them. Because then you would be a murderer and not a parent. You just make them wish you would have killed them. Are you with me? I'd rather be dead than have you as a... You won't let me get away with anything I want to do. Right? But for the sake of your name, you're going to discipline your children. And there's going to come a time when you're going to remove the discipline. You're not going to discipline them forever. What you're looking for is change. You're looking for surrender. You're looking for them to admit. Instead of saying you're the bad guy with the big stick coming to hurt and acting like a big victim, all of a sudden they say, no, you wouldn't be doing this to me if I hadn't set it up myself whenever I went and did these wrong things. You're looking for confession. When the basketball player goes out of bounds and the referee blows the whistle, the rest of the people in the stands and the rest of the people on the court are looking for him to admit that he's out of bounds and to relinquish the ball. And when he does that, everyone else accepts him back into the fold only to try to play once again by the rules. Are you with me? And so Daniel is aware that this is a nation that is called by God. This is not just sheep out on a mountainside. This is sheep in the pasture of the Almighty. And they're looking flaky right now. They're all broken up. They're all divided. They're all scattered. And for the sake of your name, O good shepherd, you don't want folk looking at sheep that look like that, that belong to you. For the sake of your name, heal us. And I pray that for this house. For the sake of your name, O God Almighty, bring healing into this house. For the sake of your name, O God, bring families who are divided, who are separated, where there's hatred, where there's division, where there's greed, where there's insult, where there's shame. For the sake of your name, God, remove those clothes off of them and place the robe of righteousness upon them. For the sake of your name, God, because this house is called by you, there is none other that is worshipped here. There is no other name that is declared here than the name of our healer, the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ. And in Jesus' name, I stand in agreement with those under the sound of my voice and declare this day, Satan, your kingdom is coming down. Your attacks are now thwarted. Step back. As God brings forth his children into wholeness and into greatness in this house and in this day. Lord, for the sake of your name, for the sake of your name, because your name is holy, because your name is pure, because your word is true. You said, I am the God who healeth thee. For the sake of your name. Amen. And so Daniel stands in this gap. He declares, Lord, for your sake, cause your face to shine on your sanctuary, which is desolate. Oh my God, incline your ear and hear and open your eyes. See our desolations, the city which is called by your name. For we do not present our supplications before you because of our righteous deeds, but because of your great mercies. None of us deserve healing. None of us deserve deliverance. None of us deserve salvation. But you declared it, God, from the heavens. And for the sake of your declaration, pour it out like the rain on the good and on the evil, on people. Let the rivers flow. And this is what Daniel was praying over Israel. And this was his decree. This was the intercession that God was calling forth. And God is calling forth intercession again to bring forth healing, not only into this house, but through this house into the nations. Elamathrosi. Now, so, and then he goes, your ear, incline your ear to hear, open your eyes, see our desolate, because of your great mercies. Verse 19, I'm going to go to one other place and then close. O Lord, hear. O Lord, hear. O Lord, forgive. O Lord, listen and act. Do not delay for your own sake, my God, for your city and your people are called by your name. Do you know how to intercede, church? Do you know how to get up into the face of God and declare his mercies that he has spoken? Absolutely. And God is calling it forth. And we're going to see it happen. And, you know, while he was speaking and praying, confessing the sin, things begin to happen. And you can read that. But I want to now direct your attention to these next three verses in the book of 2 Chronicles. In the book of 2 Chronicles, and I just want to read verse 20 through 23. And those who escaped from the sword, he carried away to Babylon, where they became servants to him and his sons until the rule of the kingdom of Persia, to fulfill the word of the Lord by the mouth of the prophet, until the land had enjoyed her Sabbaths. As long as she lay desolate, she kept Sabbath to fulfill 70 years. And so, and now in the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia, that the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah might be fulfilled, the Lord stirred up the spirit of Cyrus, the king of Persia, so that he made a proclamation throughout all his kingdom and also put into writing saying, thus says Cyrus. Thus says Cyrus. But see, we know the history of why Cyrus is saying, thus says Cyrus. God set him up to say, thus says Cyrus. Are you with me? Thus says Cyrus, king of Persia, all the kingdoms of the earth, the Lord God of heaven has given me, and he has commanded me to build him a house at Jerusalem, which is in Judah, who is among you of all his people. May the Lord his God be with him, and let him go up. And so here is that fulfillment of that decree of Cyrus, and the fulfillment of the prophecy of Jeremiah, the fulfillment of the prophecy of Isaiah. Is it any wonder why I say to you, as Jude said, as Peter said, there are many false prophets. There are rain clouds that are blemishes. They look like they're going to bring rain, but they bring nothing but cloudy weather. Are you with me? And if you want to be sure of a true prophet. His name better be Isaiah. I'm talking about in the Bible what he's written. Jeremiah, Hosea, Micah. If you want to hear true prophecy, you better go to these names right here. Do you understand what I'm saying? If you're seeking it. Now, I'm not saying that God won't send you a prophet that will prophesy to you and confirm what you have heard, but don't you get up off of your seat and start following that prophet anywhere for another word. You get right up into the one where the word came from. There is no priest between you and your heavenly Father except the priesthood of Jesus Christ. Are you with me? You do not have to go through one to get to the other. You understand what I'm saying? We're all sheep. And we are all bought with the same price. And the purchase for your redemption is paid in full. Amen. And God is laying claim now. There's a calling from the heavens for intercession to come. And may it surely flow like rivers in your hearts. I pray that you will yield as you hear the words of promise that God proclaims across the pulpits in this land. And as you see the seasons, as you see the seasons, as you see the seasons come upon us, I pray that you will yield yourself to the move of God. That you will listen and you will hear, and you will allow God to be near you, and you will allow him to express himself in and through you. May the Spirit move upon you with groanings that cannot be uttered. May the Spirit move through you to pray for the saints as it is God's will to do so. And in closing, as always, you're not going to be surprised by this closing. I want to close with the book of Ezekiel. And I'm not going to teach out of it. I'm just going to read. Ezekiel 36, 24. 36, 24 through 28. For I will take you from among the nations, and I will gather you out of all countries, and bring you into your own land. And then I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you shall be clean. I will cleanse you from all your unfilthiness and from all your idols. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will keep my judgments and do them. And then you shall dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers. You shall be my people, and I will be your God. You shall be my people, and I will be your God. Amen. The stage is set for revival. The season for revival is here. No matter what you see in the natural, always listen to what God is saying in the supernatural.